It's because of, there's other people listening.
Yeah.
People, VMs, Gameplay, Vans, even in Ari, and VM.
All right, I guess we're ready. Call the City of Lapine Urban Renewal Agency meeting on Friday, February 9th to order at 2 p.m. And if we want to establish a quorum.
Ann Davis.
Craig Heaton.
Henry Heim. Vicki Russell.
Connie Grace. So we have a quorum. Corey, you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I would love to, thanks.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That worked out actually better than we would have thought. Why not? All right.
Glad you could join us in that.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, and I'm aware of one added agenda item for the appointment of chair and co-chair, so we'll add that at the end. Is there anything else?
Not for staff, no.
Okay, all right. And any, let's see, number five, approval of November 15th meeting minutes.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented for the November 15th, 2017 meeting.
Okay, do I have a motion?
I second.
A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, those meetings, minutes are approved. And at this time, if we have any public comment. Gary, you're our only public today.
I'll be number 10, not number 6.
Okay. All right, so then moving right along, we're with the number 7 agenda item, which is the discussion with the SCYP short and long-term urban renewal groups.
So. The first thing that we thought might be worthwhile to do is to actually have the board members introduce themselves and maybe just say a little bit about your connection to Lapine. All of you are members of this community, so quick introduction and your kind of role or background in Lapine. And then we'll turn it over to the students from them. Maybe they can do quick introductions, and then they can take the lead from there. Does that sound good to everybody?
Sure.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right. Start? I can start. Ann Gaywith, Lapine Chamber of Commerce Director, and 40-year resident of Lapine.
I'm Craig Heaton. Recently moved into Lapine on City Council.
Connie Breeze, and I'm a City Council member and a couple-year resident of Lapine, although a 20-plus-year resident of South Deschutes County.
I'm Vicki Russell, and I've been here in business for 45 years, and I am involved in several nonprofit organizations here in the Lapine area.
My name is Andrea Hine. I just had the honor of being appointed to join this board. My husband and I have been here for about 2.5 years, 2 winters. This is our third. And I also write for the Newbury Eagle Community Newspaper.
Great. All right. And we also have Corey, staff present, and Melissa, and Holly. So I guess we'll turn that over to you.
Well, and I'll just say, Corey, you don't know this, but I'm in Portland, but why don't we go to Eugene? I'm Doug Wilson. I had the privilege of being the instructor of this class, and then why don't we go to Eugene and we can start with Drew.
Hi, my name's Drew, senior at U of O, studying entrepreneurship and finance.
My name's Alex Edmonds, senior studying accounting. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Raj, studying computer science, economics, and finance.
I'm Amy, I'm studying marketing.
I'm Renee, and I'm studying accounting.
I'm Debbie, and I'm studying finance.
Great, terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Should we just start off with some questions that we have?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, please. And I figured it'd kind of be just a free, kind of a free flow in discussion, and we want to make sure you get what you need so you can keep working along on your projects. We know the term is moving briskly, so we just want to be a resource for you to keep working on those items.
So I guess I can start. Corey, this is Alex speaking. Some project objectives that we identified just for like the short term was looking at like the storefront loan program. I know that you sent me some items detailing that. So that's like one of the objectives we have. And then the other two were like development of new common public areas, such as like bus stops, public art, things of that sort. And then the last one being renovation of like current public areas. Is that something that you think is more short term and like what we should be tackling in terms of like project objectives?
So if you all recall the time we spent less than a month ago, feels like longer ago than that, but on January 12th, remind me, and this is not technically a quiz question, but what did we define as short term?
Like 3 years.
One to 3 years, somewhere in that range. So based on the items that you mentioned, I'm looking at the board members and trying to get a sense if they think that some of those are good items to explore during your research. I know that there's been conversation about a storefront loan program or facade improvements program. And so I'm glad to hear that you picked up on us emphasizing that. And then in regards to the others, if you wouldn't mind just repeating them real quick, and maybe we can, the board can have a little opportunity to weigh in on some of those if they think those are good items as well.
Yeah, definitely. So the second one was development of new public areas, such as like creating more bus stops, as well as maybe implementing like public art, sculptures, things of that sort. And then the third one was just like renovation of current common public areas, such as like improving the sidewalks, like you showed us on the highways, as well as like light fixtures, things of that sort that could currently be improved.
Any of the board have any comment on that?
Well, I think those are all three areas that we've had a lot of discussion about. And wanting to see those areas move, or those three objectives, we really have wanted to move forward on those. We have a lot of things to do in our community, but by focusing on these, should be able to engage our community pretty well also. One of the first things that came about was the storefront loans and helping businesses really improve how their businesses looked, especially along Highway 97, because as you guys know, you drive through quickly. And then the development of the new public area just ties right in with our transit area that we are looking on and are looking to do, and then with the sidewalks and the development along Highway 97 and down First Street. So that just ties in perfectly. And then the public area renovation, I don't know if you have spent any time up at Wikia, but from Wikia or down here, coming in, just the combination, we have lots of potential in all three areas.
Yeah, I don't know if I were to choose a priority, I still think the storefront loan program and that facade improvement would have to be priority. And then the others, I mean, because we're working on the transit center and all of that, that's currently what we're working on anyway. But yeah, I'd personally like to see that a design or some sort of way to move forward to show people what we'd like to see in that those facade improvements, so then we can loan them.
And getting it so it's cohesive, you
right.
know, because
That's
we really don't
piece.
Have a plan. It's we're the new buildings that are coming in are doing a great job, but we don't have anything that's cohesive.
Andrew, Craig, do you guys have any thoughts?
Do you have any thoughts?
Not yet.
No, okay. I agree with Vicki about her comments. The storefront loan program is definitely something that I'd like to see this us travel in that direction. I think that we're doing some improvements on the public areas already. The current, you know, the sidewalk improvements we talked about, and some of the areas through the city funding, we're doing some of that through ODOT funding. But yeah, definitely looking at some public art as well, and some just that pride in our community of we want to show it off, and we want people to come here, and we want people to hang out in the downtown area. So the new common areas for people to feel comfortable to do that and want to do that would be great.
Appreciate that answer. Thank you. This is Drew speaking. One question that we kind of had that, you know, could have a long-term and a short-term perspective was just wondering if you guys could kind of boil down your long and short-term goals into, like, you know, one or two sentences or a list of, you know, three main priorities, just to help give us like a broad understanding of what you guys would like done.
Give us a moment on that one. Yeah.
I think part of, I'm just going to weigh in here a little bit on this. Part of it has been because our city is new and our urban renewal committee is new, we are just getting into leveraging a little bit of funds. So we've had lots of thoughts, lots of processes of thoughts. I think we all are on the same page for what we are looking for to happen. Whether we've specifically put them into timelines, I don't believe so. But I think as you went through these objectives, these are high on our list of what we want to do. And starting with the design and coming with that process, that would be really important, and that would help us meet some objectives and some goals. Anybody else here?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry, the design I think is probably one of the most important pieces of that, because I've always felt that without having something to take to the business owners for them as choices, then they really have no objective. They have no way of knowing what it is we want for facade improvements. I think we really need some sort of design, a couple of choices that to give to them and say, we really would like to see you do this to your business, and we've got money to help you do it. The design piece is what we've been missing from all these conversations.
So. I would agree the design standards is probably high on our priority list, and also a cohesiveness between Lapine and Wickiup.
Yeah.
Which is huge too, you know, for people to feel like Wickiup is in a separate area but part of our town.
And that's where I think the design comes in, is if we can come up with a design plan that the existing businesses can do some sort of small facade remodel, and new businesses can follow a design plan, and eventually you would have a sense that, yeah, that both ends of the community are part of the same community.
So I just want to add in on that in terms of the design standards, because I obviously, if we're going to be implementing a facade or storefront loan improvement program, we need to know what that look is.
Right.
And it needs to be really well thought out. It needs to have buy-in from the community. It needs, I mean, that is a long process. And so before this meeting, Melissa and I were talking with the folks who are administering our TGM grant. And the phase two of that is looking at the downtown design standards. And they're focusing on downtown, but that doesn't mean that the standards or theme couldn't be applied to all of Lapine. But what I'm realizing is that TGM process will probably wrap up in the fall of 18. It feels like a long time from now. But if you think about all of the opportunities through this spring and early summer to do public engagement, talking with downtown business owners, property owners, all of you and others, the council, planning commission, and really getting that buy-in and then getting the standards in place by, say, September, October. And then as we're having our conversation this spring in terms of budgeting, the new budget starts July 1. In theory, by that fall or winter, or certainly the coming spring, a year from now, we could be in a position to be able to administer that program. Now, if we have that design process funded and we're going to be going through that, I think what we don't know is how would we budget, how do we structure, how do we administer, how do we make decisions on who gets those storefront loans, how much do we contribute, is it a grant, is it a forgivable loan? I mean, those real management and administrative type decisions. So from what I've heard in terms of a real need for the short-term group is really the nuts and bolts of how to create one of those programs, and then we don't, and then try something for a year and then have it not be successful. So that's part of why we wanted all of you to look at other cities that have done this and how have they been successful, how has it worked well, what would they have done differently in the first 1, 2, or 3 years, so that we can just, you know, hit the ground running and be off and going and doing it successfully. Now, hey Doug, real quick, in terms of the question that Drew asked, could you weigh in on that a little bit and elaborate? Because I feel like, and this is for Drew and others as well, but are you kind of asking, what do we want to see, you know, high level, what do we want to accomplish through the Urban Renewal Agency, or if you could elaborate a little bit more in terms of the first question Alex asked, I think you got a good sense in terms of short term. First off, we don't have very much money, so we can't go out and do very much. But the projects and things that you mentioned are starting points. Long term, that's another question. I almost feel like Drew's question is more about kind of like big picture wish list. You know, if we're talking millions of dollars over the next 10, 15 years, how do we start having that conversation? I mean, not that all of you are making that call, but even with the community. And so maybe there's some fruit there that needs to be looked into. I think so. I'm just kind of throwing that out there in terms of what I thought I heard and what they're looking for.
Well, I'm going to start, and then I'll turn it over to Drew and the people in Eugene. At this point, I think it'd be helpful for the team just to kind of have an idea of where to focus. This is a relatively short-term project. And again, a word like from the School of Business. So I think that the students can do a great job of kind of conceptually mapping out what might be the most helpful from a more strategic view for the city of Lapine. And even though we're not design experts, there might be opportunities where, for example, images from other communities, as far as the theme, the look, the feel, might be a possibility for the groups to give examples of. But again, I think the place they can bring the most value is to just map out, again, the concept and overall strategy that may be best for the urban renewal experience. Now with that, I'm going to turn it over to those in Eugene and comments or critique on my comment.
Yeah, I would say I agree with what you just said about kind of exactly what my question is. I mean, I think from a long-term perspective, it's kind of difficult to fully understand what the goal is. I think, you know, there are definitely some options available, but I think at least personally, you guys feel free to jump in, but it's hard to understand how to differentiate between different projects and like almost create a rubric as to what's most important to think of in the long term.
So I'm sorry, I try not to talk so much, but I'm gonna chime in because I had an idea pop into my head. So we have this community survey that's going out, that's live right now. We're asking community members about our downtown area. And the Urban Renewal Agency really only covers the downtown area in terms of funding. And it's long term. And so one thing that the city and the Urban Renewal Agency, in my mind, should be practicing what we're preaching is in terms of planning and really knowing where we're trying to get to. And so I wonder, you know, we're going to get feedback from folks, and they're going to say, we want this and we want that, and that's great. But in terms of actually putting together kind of like a downtown vision, a 2030 vision or whatever it may be, that might be a real worthwhile exercise that the Urban Renewal Agency could play a role in. And then that would help inform some of the big budget decisions down the road. I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense to either the board or the students. But
I think the whole visioning process, that whole idea, by figuring out how we take their responses from the community, from what the feedback we're getting right now, and where do they want to see us focus, is exactly the direction that we should be going.
So. Well, it made me think of that, the strategic planning comment that Doug made, and the fact that, you know, it is, you know, you've got another 5 weeks or whatever left to work on this project. I think it would be really interesting for the long-term Urban Renewal Group to look at some other communities and figure out what went into their visioning process. How did they set that up? How did they fund it? How long did it take? What were steps that they took? Which ones have been successful, looking back on ones that maybe were put in place 10 years ago, and how, you know, how did they then work towards that, accomplishing that vision? That could be interesting. I don't know.
So, Corey, if you don't mind me playing off that comment, you have mentioned Sisters before. Do you think that there is anything to be learned about exploring the Sisters history up in the board, or do you think that's really not going to be a good comparison?
Oh, golly. I think there's too many differences. The size of the community, the way the road runs through it, there's just... you know, they're a compact community in terms of area that they cover. I don't know. It was easy for them to make that choice to be what they look like because they are so compact. Our situation's not going to be so easy, so I think that I'd be hard-pressed to find real comparisons.
I don't know if the comparison would be as valuable as possibly the process, maybe
yeah.
Some of the steps of the process could
yeah,
be
the process is
yeah
probably
could
the
be
same
important
no
to
what.
Us
yeah.
Yes, and that's right. Anna's just saying I maybe was over the top of her, but the process really is the same. You know, the outcome may be a little bit different, but we could really use some of those steps. We're the babies, but we want to be the Olympic athletes in about 5 years. So you guys have a real job in front of you.
I was wondering, I remember when we first went, you mentioned that there was like no movie theater in La Pine, and if people wanted to go to a sit-down restaurant, they had to go like to Bend or to Sun River or something like that. Is one of the more long-term goals like attracting things like that to come to La Pine to make it more like a downtown area where people can just stay in their own city to have fun and like have leisure time?
I think that's probably somewhat of what we're looking at, you know, still keeping that small town feel, but attracting positive things for our community to do, you know, positive activities as well as, you know, options to where they don't have to leave La Pine to maybe dine out or to a nice restaurant and such.
I think the things that make us the difference between a bedroom community of Bend and a full service community, where we have those things that keep people here and without having to go to the bigger city. Movie theater, I think, is a huge thing for us. I don't know so much about sit-down, but we do have actually a handful of decent sit-down restaurants. Do we have a really fancy restaurant? No, but...
Could we support one right now? Who knows?
Yeah, could we support one right now? Exactly. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure we could. I think more recreational, like a movie theater, you know, skating rink, you know, some of those kinds of things might be something more valuable in terms of keeping people here.
On that note, back to the comment that Ann and Vicky made about sisters, is less about maybe focusing on what that amenity is. So, you know, we're not deciding in the next month or 6 months if it's a movie theater or an ice skating rink or whatever it may be, but more focusing on the process. So looking at how other urban renewal agencies leveraged their dollars through maybe an RFP process or whatever. I don't know what other tools or ways that they've used those dollars, but when you're using public dollars, you need to be very strategic and very transparent. You've got to follow a lot of rules, and so it doesn't move fast. But how did other urban renewal agencies get what they wanted? We don't necessarily, I mean, we'd be curious to find out, I think, what it is they wanted and what they got, but whether that's what we want, that, you know, we can just, you all can decide that later, but how they got them is interesting. And for the long-term group, that is a long-term group type exploration, because, you know, if the urban renewal agency was gonna take $300,000 and incentivize bringing X, whatever it is, to Lapine, you know, that's a big decision, and that's not gonna happen in the next 3 years, but it could happen in the next 6 years, maybe. And so that process, it would be very helpful for us to know whether it's case studies, whether it's mechanisms, examples, best practices of what other urban renewal agencies did to get what they want in terms of big amenities.
Yeah, that's
for some of the restaurants and other things that are, you know, on our minds, it takes a certain population base to support those. So we're going to have to be careful what we're looking for. You know, in the end, Lapine still has to support whatever's coming down the road, whether it's a restaurant, you know, movie theater. The population base has to be here.
In terms of kind of what you're looking at, is there a particular population growth number that you're trying to achieve by 2030?
We did Ford Family Foundation when we did the Road to Economic Vitality, and also St. Charles Medical Clinic that's being built here right now has done a lot of work on numbers and used the post office. St. Charles used a basis of surrounding areas, which would pull from South and probably from Silver Lake, of about 25,000 people, that of which the current medical clinic services about 8,000 to 10,000. And so you have all of those people driving to Bend. And the Road to Economic Vitality was very interesting, and we could probably get the link to you so you could look at some of that data, which is because we have millions of dollars that are walking out of this community every day. So, or not every day, but in a year's time, because the businesses, we don't have the businesses here. So we have, I was just recently told, if we looked at it, and Corey, you can back me up, you'd want to look at 15 to 17,000 people on a regular basis that we would be servicing in this area. So those numbers are moving up and down, but that would be because we have a lot of people that leave in the winter time. So that might help you also.
15,000, I think, is the number that is pretty generally been used for, you know, within a 20-mile type radius of here, South County, which is South Deschutes and North Klamath and Lake Counties. And then the other element that it might happen all faster than we think is if the home builders inside the city limits continue to build 50 homes a year, I mean, we could see hundreds of new people to, you know, the very dense urban area of Lapine. Pretty soon, yeah, multifamily amenities. The way you phrased the question, though, was really interesting, because you said trying to achieve growth. I think it'd be interesting for the board to weigh in on how does Lapine feel about growth?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Do you really want
this
to?
This is a public meeting.
Well, I think that personally, I don't think it's unrealistic to think that we won't grow. I mean, and I think that we want to grow in a healthy manner, but I also think that we want to be cautious in that growth and responsible in that growth and still maintain just our small town feel that we have. I mean, don't want to compare sisters to us, but at the same time, they still have that small town feel, even though they've grown quite a bit with everything that they've done. And they're still supporting some of those larger businesses with that and still maintaining that. So, I mean, I don't have a number picked out in my head. That's pretty loaded. But I think just we do expect to grow.
Yeah, I think that the reason most of us are sitting here and become part of a city council or any of that, those of us that have been here a long time, I think, is we know growth is important. We know it's going to happen. We want to be a part of the process so we can kind of control it and nudge it in the direction that we want it to be in, instead of just, I think that's the problem with Bend. Bend just, it just grew. And it just happened, and by the time somebody realized it was just looking way too big and way more than anybody wanted, it was too late. That's what you want to avoid.
And I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. How do you control growth?
Well, you're right. You don't control it. If people want to come, they're going to come. But I think you control it with coding, but the kinds of the density which a lot of that we don't have control over because the state has control over that. That's a conversation for another day. But the kinds of properties that you have. I'd like to see, for me personally, I'd like to see the surrounding area continue to be what it is, which is acre properties, and that's going to help mitigate some of that real dense growth that I don't think any of us really want to see. That's all I can see at this point. Control the kinds of businesses that come in, so we don't have maybe some great big retail centers that do we really need? I don't know. I've got lots of little ideas. Who knows if they work?
No, thank you. That really
did
helps.
That help?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Your thoughts on growth, Vicki?
Well, I think we need to be prepared for the growth that's going to happen because even though our medium income in our community is lower, the average home is $100,000 less than in the Bend area. So when you have a family that is, both people are working, that commute is not, you know, if they want to own a home, they're coming this direction.
Right.
That's what they're selling. So I think we need to be prepared for growth. I think our city has done a lot of work. I think our community is continuing to do a lot of work. And I agree that we need to be thoughtful about it. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, kind of going off of that, in terms of the residents themselves, do you think that there are more, or that will we potentially be more happy if they're, you know, visitors or, like, you know, rather than growing out of proportion to something like that?
I would say I don't have the survey results, but knowing what feedback I hear as a counselor is most people don't want to grow in this area. They don't want to see
the...
They
think we're too big already.
They think we've already grown too much and that we have too much of an influx of people. I think that's part of our job, and part of what makes our job tough is to keep that in balance. You know, that we know we're going to grow, but we want to grow in a way that doesn't alienate the people that elected us.
it's really an interesting situation because a lot of the people in the community want the things that require growth and support. And so that's, again, your balance. I think when people say they don't want growth, and yet we have employees that have come here purposely and with deliberately to live in this area, and they like that it has grown enough that there are some things here that make it, the living easier. So again, I think our job is to prepare for the growth. Because I think focusing on not having it grow is not wise. That is counterproductive.
I think there's things you could do to so that we maintain a perception of a small town. You make choices like not having a row of fast food restaurants, a row of franchise type of restaurants. But I think Coding, Wyoming has made that choice in their downtown core area. You don't see mainstream chain restaurants. It's all mom and pop places. Those chain restaurants are out of the core area, but they've made a conscious choice to keep their area look like you think Coding, Wyoming should look. You know? And it's actually a big area, a fairly large area in terms of population. So
going back to some of the questions that you have asked us, I'd like to ask this question. What do you think this project should look like from your point of view?
Could you repeat that? Sorry, it was kind of breaking up a little.
Sorry about that. So going back to some of the original questions, what do you think as a group that this your project should look like for us?
It kind of seems to me like for at least in the long-term group, we should just, you keep kind of pushing like the whole process type thing and not like less of specifics, but more the process of like how to get money into action. And so that's kind of what it seems like, at least for the long-term group, to focus more on process type things.
And then I'd say for short-term, it's more so like benchmarking the whole storefront loan program and seeing how that could like be put into action for the next coming years.
Does that seem kind of like what you guys were expecting from us?
I think that's a good start. Corey, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Not necessarily, no. I think that from the get-go, our goal with each course through Sustainable City Year has to have them plug into something that's already in motion in Lapine and help move that forward. We recognize that you know the term's 10 weeks and they're taking other classes and there's really only so much they can do, but if the students can focus in on those specific deliverables, those specific objectives that we're looking for that will really help us move forward, then in my mind it'll be a success. And based on what you both just described, I think that those would help move us forward. I think it would. So, yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
If I could, I'd love to ask the board this question. As we took the tour, it really stood out, at least in some of our minds, about the importance of the current ODOT property and its proximity to both the highway and downtown. Do you feel like that, and I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, that may become available within a five-year window. Do you perceive that as an important element of kind of the strategic future of downtown? And if so, would you like for the long-term team to address that question?
It's a great question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you say that you would address it, I'm not sure what piece of that you would address. It's obviously it gives a total different perception of everything that we've talked about right now, and it needs to be elsewhere. So what would we make of that property? I don't know. I think that would be, there's any number of things we've talked about over the years.
I think it'd be interesting to see what they came up with and if they did address it, quite frankly.
What could it be?
I think that's a great area to look at, and Corey probably knows a little more.
Well, just to, so I think even to rephrase the question a little bit, do you think the Urban Renewal Agency should play a proactive role in deciding what next comes on that property?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Sure. I think that would be the perfect place for the movie theater. So if you're, you know, you're gonna look for someone to come into your town and do that, you're going to give them money to help do it. And, yeah, you have to have an idea of where it's gonna go, so, yeah.
And it could be a great little attraction for retail and restaurant and that's kind of a gateway, that street, you're right. There's just some, that's a beautiful piece of property that could really shine. And as you guys looked at that, and so it would be wonderful to see what your concept would be, or conceptually, what you think some of the potential would be on that property.
Yeah, the site, so it's actually, there's the triangle piece over by the Best Western is actually connected to that property, but the actual ODOT maintenance yard is over 7 acres.
Yes, I
know. In the heart of downtown. I mean, that's kind of off the charts potential. There's no other parcel that's that large in the downtown area. And Doug, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's not coming to us in 2 or 3 years. It's probably pretty unlikely. But within the next 5, I think is realistic. It's owned by a public entity, the Bureau of Land Management, the federal government. It's used by a state agency, ODOT. And we think that we can work it through them so that ultimately the local jurisdiction, the city and or Urban Renewal Agency have the ability to move forward and help shape its future. So yeah, I think you're getting thumbs up from everyone here. That's a huge off the charts opportunity.
Yeah.
That really, those
so then, yeah.
Stockpile of cinders could be our no growth. Potential.
So just, I'm just throwing this out as a speculative comment, but on the premise that that would be a long-term kind of goal, would a benefit for the short-term team be to look at things that would basically really aid for the development and long-term utilization of that property?
We lost that sentence you said right in the middle.
The question was, if in fact the ODOT property would be a long-term development goal, would one approach be to have the short-term team look at what can be done to set the stage for that long-term type?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, certainly learning the processes of how we would go about doing that would help ease into that. That would might be the crowning glory of some smaller stuff. It's probably, like Vicki says, all the same process. We just don't know what that process is.
That property, again, with the ownership structure and the way it's used, it has some unique, it's a bit of a unique scenario. But I think one thing that the city and the Urban Renewal Agency can do is work towards preparing making a compelling case or story to either, we're gonna have to engage a member of Congress. There's 7 in Oregon. The ones on the other side of the mountains probably don't care much about this region, so that gives us 3 senators and a congressman. So we're gonna need to get their attention. We're gonna need to tell them that we've thought through this. We're gonna need to make a case that we need it, we want it. We're gonna do good with it. And looking at what other communities have done to maybe get land like that might be a good example. I don't know. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So for the public land, do you want us to look into more like specifics of what exactly could go in there, or more like the process of how we would get Congress people's attention, or how you get that?
Well, I think think we'd be interested in seeing what your concept might be. I, you know, that's not ultimately what we really need from you. The process is probably more important, but I think just for kind of visionary sake, it'd be nice to know what that concept could be.
I guess I think about like if we were to obtain that property, what the process we would use to decide what goes there or decide how we split up that piece or have potential tenants or, you know, I mean, that whole big picture, what's the process?
How do we do that?
Yeah. How do we do it?
Corey, I have a question for you. Is the process of obtaining that land with the current structure owned by the federal government, managed by a state agency, long-term goal having belonged to the city, is that straightforward? I mean, are there definite steps to follow and a certain order that in which you proceed on those steps, or would that be breaking new ground?
No, that process is pretty well laid out. It's happened in this area before. The city's gotten land from BLM within the last, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago. There was a land transfer. We actually were meeting with ODOT yesterday morning talking about that property. And ultimately, it's a combination of working it through that process and then just flexing a little bit of political will. The ODOT, there's a vacancy in the ODOT region manager. There's going to be a new region manager in the next 2 months. And I think what would behoove all of us is to have city officials or myself and others there when in their first, you know, 30 days on the job saying, we're not kidding about this. We really want this to happen. And then once they set that process in motion, it'll still take years, but it's really taking that first step. So in terms of the political, the engaging elected officials, that kind of stuff, I don't think there's work for all of you to kind of look into doing in that regard. We pretty much well know that process. But alluding more to some of the comments I heard by the board of, okay, so say we do get the land and we have 7 acres, you know, how do we decide if we want to, how are we going to use that? You know, how do we master plan that? Or what, you know, how do you make those decisions? But in terms of getting it, you know, like Doug was saying, fast forwarding 5 years out, how could we be prepared when that ownership, not let's start that conversation 5 years from now, how could we start that conversation now? Mm-hmm. Knowing that and hoping that it's going to happen. It's just not if, but when. Did that help? Did that make a little sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So are there any other
questions? What are the questions from the board?
Sorry.
I guess what I have a question. In terms of growth itself, do you think wealth creation is more important than population growth? I mean, essentially, like, you know, is medium income a more important metric to you guys than like just sheer population growth?
That's a good question. I think we need a balance of that. We definitely need jobs for the younger people that so they don't have to go to Bend. But I think we need those dollars from the retired people too. So, and we've had a really fair influx of people bringing pockets full of cash because they've sold houses in the, say, Southern California area, and they come up here and buy a big piece of land for a relatively small amount of money and have just lots of really discretionary funds at their, you know, at their disposal, and they spend a lot of money in the area. I think that's become an important piece of our economy.
Absolutely.
So we can't discount that, and that's our population. But on the other hand, we need the jobs too. We need those family wage jobs, is what we call them. Yeah.
That's a hard question to answer because it is a balance. I could give you a quick answer. Of course, we would want to be able to provide income, living wage income here would be the quick answer. Again, it's the combination because it's going to take growth to do that.
You're going to have growth. And part of it, of the acceptance, I think, of the community is to, for them to realize, along with that, will be employment.
Yes.
And I think that would be a good selling factor.
The one thing that jumps to my mind is, and I don't know, which is, this might be one thing based on that question to look into while you're doing your research, is I don't know what necessarily role urban renewal could play in that, or in other communities what urban renewal has played in that. Definitely your classmates, the other half of your class who are working on the economic development projects, looking at our, you know, couple hundred acres of industrial land, you know, look, traded sector businesses, living wage jobs, all that kind of stuff. That's the pinnacle of what they're trying to accomplish through the Urban Renewal Agency. Are there potential ways? Maybe, I don't know. That's a good, it's an unknown.
I guess like a better way to rephrase that question is there a situation where the Urban Renewal Board will support high-tech, say like, you know, programs like, you know, inviting software companies and essentially incentivizing them to come to Hill Pine?
I don't see that as a function of this board in particular. I think Corey nailed it when he said that, you know, we have economic development people employed that we're working on that part, and we have another class that's actually focused with that portion. But as far as the urban renewal, I think we're more focused on the downtown businesses and things like that, not industry.
Okay.
Well, and we have a group called SLED, which is the Sun River Lapine Economic Development Group. And so, and they're working hard on bringing businesses into the industrial park. So the answer to that is going, that process is going on in its own entity. And then, of course, then you have the standards of your city planning and city council and all of that. So, but urban renewal, we might agree with it or disagree with it, but that wouldn't be probably a specific goal that we would have.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what this agency is going to look at is support for the existing businesses and how you make them successful, which is going to bring other like businesses in.
And setting standards for the new development.
Yeah.
And an interesting way to answer your question too, though, is that the whole premise of the Urban Renewal Agency is within the boundaries of the district where the property taxes were frozen, and various entities are foregoing additional tax revenue. Park District, City, County, Fire, Library, Central Urban Community College, ESD, et cetera, et cetera. The theory and realization of urban renewal agencies done well is that when they end, the tax base is greater than if the urban renewal agency hadn't have occurred. So it's, I think Ann's point of supporting businesses, existing businesses, making the area more attractive for new businesses, and the recipe of helping to really energize an area and see more activity. I mean, I was looking and scrolling on Dial-Up Huntington Road, and there's, I counted 7 completely vacant parcels, just bare land, let alone other properties that I know some of you, I won't name specifics, but I know many of you would agree could use either a facade improvement or maybe a bulldozer. I'm sorry. There's some that are very nice, and there's others that aren't. And so just to be reality of that. So in terms of the wealth creation, I think it'll come through that downtown revitalization. And then as those buildings are built, those go on the tax rolls, and those help support services through the city, services through fire, the park district, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really kind of the model that urban renewal, how it works, what it's trying to accomplish big picture in terms of tax increment financing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have one more question about the big chunk of land that you guys have that's like right outside the city boundary or whatever. With that, it's like a huge, it's like a blank slate. I think you were saying it's a big opportunity, but for us, do you want us to look once again into like something that can specifically go there and find success, or how other communities have that have had similar opportunities just like even just like started out to make progress on it?
So are you talking about the area of
the parkland?
150 acres out 6th Street.
Oh, out 6th Street.
That's
oh, okay.
It's part of the urban renewal
yeah.
district.
Outside the city limits, inside the urban renewal agency boundary. Yeah, and bare land at this point, but in public ownership, so you don't have to jump through the BLM, local public ownership, you don't have to jump through the BLM hoops. Restate the crux of your question in terms of, I think it was about amenities or more, again, kind of coming back to this process thing, but you articulated.
Yeah, I remember like when we came, you had said that originally the land was set aside for some type of fair or something like that. But my question is, do you want us to look into different options of what could actually go there or how, I remember you saying you wanted us to look for like benchmarking cities that have had similar like blank slates of land and how they actually even just started using the urban renewal money to even go about starting anything on that land at all.
I think that would be great. I'd love to have an outside opinion with that area, especially because I think it's kind of been a source of contention for people locally. Everybody's got an idea on what they think, and if you start bringing in some outside ideas, then maybe we might come to general consensus.
Yeah, it could certainly be interesting.
Of what that potential, that the land has the potential to be.
The history of that land, the community received it specifically to be used as a rodeo grounds or an event grounds. That was the overriding reason why the Congress passed the resolution so BLM could give it to the county, to the city, to ultimately the Park and Rec District. So whether what is done there could be a huge departure from that, I don't know, because that was the overriding reason for it.
So I look at this, again, going back to the process of, I think having ideas are great. I think you would have to come back and tell us how much time do you have to focus on everything that we've had in discussion here. And we definitely have some areas that need to be focused on. I most certainly wouldn't want you to spend personally a lot of your time in the limited time that you have for this on the 150 acres, maybe an overview of
right.
a few things. But I think we have other things that we need to focus on that would be in a priority list that would be higher than that. Anybody else?
Would you be able to articulate that priority?
Well, what I'm realizing is this urban renewal committee needs to really get some goals and objectives down, short term and long term, as we sit here. I really, some of our priorities that the short term and the long term, you know, we talked about, I'm looking at specifically your into our community, going back to the storefront, some of the things we've talked about, and you know, some of the development of the new public areas. The long term, really looking at the state, the 7 acres. I think those would be really beneficial to us. I think it would be very beneficial to this group, to the city as a whole. Realistically, it would be great if we could have you for the next year giving us good input and plans. It would be wonderful because you're going to look at it differently than we're looking at it. We might be standing in the trees and not looking at the
forest.
Yeah, I think you are seeing the forest and you are seeing the trees. And so looking at that from that perspective would be helpful. So did I... Did I give you something that's specific enough?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
I have to add onto that, it may be interesting to look into what other urban renewal agencies have done, again, in terms of a process of identifying those priorities and objectives. Again, coming back to process, but the process of identifying the objectives and then the process of how to accomplish those objectives. Those are two different things. I think what will be beneficial for all of the board and us in the next few months will be, you know, the urban renewal plan is really pretty darn detailed. It talks about where certain dollars could be spent, and it kind of makes somewhat of a roadmap, somewhat of a promise when the district was formed. But it doesn't, you know, it might say, oh, $1 million is going to be spent on streetscapes, but it doesn't say, well, which 100 feet or which 100 yards do you pick first? I mean, actually deciding the specifics is really challenging. And I think to Vicki's point, we haven't dove into those conversations really yet. So if there's that could be kind of a short-term, long-term group kind of co-thing of just how do we do that on a yearly basis or looking ahead 5 years or whatever it may be, goal setting or whatever it might look like, that
visioning.
Yeah, we need that assistance on some of those potentialities as well. I think
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Any more questions for us?
I think we're good.
Okay.
Doug, do you have anything to add at this point?
Honestly, I just want to say thank you. The board taking our time to do this. All of us a lot to think about. Opportunities for the board to either share ideas. I was really happy to mention the city of Cody, Wyoming. Think of example cities for the team to consider. Please pass them through for you or somehow to us so that we can kind of add them in the mix of resources. But again, thank you for all of you for the time for to be able to ask this question. Board for setting this up.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're excited.
And if I'm doing my math right, Doug, is it exactly 5 weeks until the final presentation?
I think that's right, March 16th.
Wow.
So it's going to be fast and furious 5 weeks for all of them. We can relax until then. But we'll make sure that all of you are, it's going to be, I think we're, Doug, we were just talking last week. Holly's helping us out in terms of getting scheduled. Probably presentations on that Friday. So we'll obviously all be invited, maybe at the Senior Center again, kind of depending on the arrangement. We'll keep you informed, and they'll be off working. If you come up with ideas, like Doug said, let me know. I'll pass it through to them, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Great.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good afternoon.
Anybody else have any follow-up comments on that discussion?
Well, I thought it was interesting, and because we have started and we've had discussions here, but it made me think a little bit about just because we would set goals doesn't mean they have to be fulfilled, but I think we have a little bit of work to do. That's what I'm taking away from this. We have a little bit of work, because we don't want to be sitting going, well, we have this much money now, and then we're going to get this much more. I think we need to be proactive about setting those goals, and then setting some timelines. And one of our objectives always was, however much money we got, we wanted to leverage it. Because you most certainly don't want to empty the pot right away. So maybe in part of that process is saying, when we, if we look at a $100,000 project, do our objective is, do we look for grants for 50% of it or 75% of it? So we're continually moving in that. That's, anyway, that was just one thing that stood out to me when they asked us.
Yeah. Well, we did a lot of discussions early on, but it was also such pie in the sky, and now we actually do have some money and the potential to, you know, next year to really have, you know, we could actually have a project.
Yes.
Come up with it.
And so, and that's what I thought about is, you know, that might be something, you know, with the specifics of what we're to be involved in, but to say, you know, these are right now some of our short-term goals and some of our long-term goals, and review them because it could change, you know. But that would have been, that's probably what I would say that I took away.
It'd be good to look back at that, our original discussion when, you know, about the streetscapes and all the things that we had on there, and see what parts that we still think are viable, and is there something else that's popped up in the last couple of years that maybe be take priority?
I think we collectively always, you know, want the improvements. We know we want improvements. That's just number one. So maybe, again, getting some of the processes and then attaching them to our objectives and goals, again, would be healthy. And it would be good for City Council, too, to say, oh, yeah, you know, these are some of the things that they are looking at. Mm-hmm. Not, well, we're still waiting for money.
Well, and the other thing to look at is that our board has changed a little bit, too.
Yeah.
We've got two new members that have just joined us. And and so looking at what we're trying to accomplish in our goals together with this board, I think is good, kind of like we just did with the City Council, sitting down and doing City Council goals. I think that the Urban Renewal Board needs to do the same thing.
On the leveraging, you know, what is available now, or, you know, a year from now, what is available or what might be available, and that might help you pick out a priority.
Well, right, we have a $65,000 budget right now, and so it's based on, we had more return for our tax, we had a little more money than we thought. So the leveraging is, I think, when I look at that, is at what point? So let's say we have $150,000 next year. Well, I think we don't, I look at it, setting a goal is, if we did a $50,000 project, would we try to leverage it by doubling it? Would we say we want to do a $100,000 project? And so we need to be able to go out and get 50,000 of those dollars to leverage. Not that we have 100,000 in the bank and we're going to do a $100,000 project.
Right. But is that 50,000 going to be for specific projects? You know, in other words, they would give you money for storefronts, but maybe not.
Oh, if you're leveraging your money, it's real specific.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, what is available, then that might help you focus on your priorities.
Well, you have to pick your project before you can go to get grants. So if we picked I'm using round numbers. If we pick $100,000,
so he's saying the opposite. He's saying, no, the grant's available and we want to see.
Yeah, no, it won't be. I mean, there's money available. You can, you know,
but
you can usually
take a project too.
Right.
Yeah. You have to ask for something specific.
Passionately get $25,000 out of most nonprofit or foundations. I mean, it's passionately you can do that. So I think our goals and objectives should be, we need to start looking at what is our short-term goals and what is our long-term goals, and then fit some projects into that collectively. That's how I see it. And whether we can do them or not, we haven't thought in those terms yet. We have just thought in terms of
we're dreamers,
let's see how much gets. Lots of money. What would we do? Yeah, that's what the original.
Waiting for the rich uncle.
All right. I don't want to go too far out of whack here, but I just, any other comments on the?
Yeah, I have a question, and if this has already been done by the board, my apologies. I blame my newness. But I would find it fascinating to see what other cities have done for their urban renewal projects, to have a comparison as we set our own framework. Because maybe if you've already done this, fine, but you're saying, okay, we want to do storefronts and we want to do this. Well, that's all good, but wouldn't it be fascinating and relevant to see how other communities have decided to allocate money and how much it took and what their priorities were?
Well, and part of the original process was that. We had a presentation of what the city of Sandy in particular was one, and other cities, what they did with their urban renewal money. Rick Allen was around at the time, so he had a wealth of knowledge about Madras and Redmond, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Many of like
their
$10 million
many of their projects are urban renewal mm-hmm. projects.
Mm-hmm. Was that put down? Was that kept somewhere? Is that something that
can
be examined again?
Well, I wonder if visually, if maybe the
wasn't
one
there
of those
a presentation?
First presentations,
yeah.
what might be available that we could just mm-hmm. sit and look and watch it again. You know,
yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
Didn't
lane?
We have that?
Elaine Howe.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had a video. That would give you a sense of, I think that's one of the things that got all of us kind of excited about mm-hmm. it, was her presentation showing what the possibilities. So maybe if we could get that
yeah.
again.
Yeah, I'm hearing a number of things that are really great. And one thing that we need to do is we need to put together, binders of relevant documents and or presentations and things that every
yeah.
board member should have, but obviously new board members need to have to get up to speed. I think part of the thought process in terms of looking at other cities and what's been successful and where should we start and where can we go, not in its entirety, but partially was with the Sustainable City Year thing. That when they come in 5 weeks and make their reports and their presentations, that we should have some good launching points for things to explore. Now, what I'm hearing is I feel like I hope all of you are ready. I think we should have probably a board meeting in March, April, May, and June. I really, based on what I'm hearing right now, I feel like we need that. March, we need to go back to square one. We need to remember all the plans that were put in place, get new board members up to speed, talk about where we were, where we're at. We'll have the survey results by then.
Right.
Look at the survey results.
Yeah.
Let that inform some of the process that's been talked about in terms
Absolutely.
Of the goal setting. Then in April, at that point, we'll have the reports from them. Incorporate that into the discussion. Then we'll be talking budget at the same time. Then in May, budget time, budget committee, and then adoption of the budget in June. And
mm-hmm.
so it seems like we've got some good work to do, but I think we've got kind of opportunities that'll insert themselves over the next couple months that will really help us figure that out. I think another question that's going to be timely in terms of projects is there a role for the Urban Renewal Agency and the dollars to be played in regards to that city center transit location? Is there some money that should be spent on that property? If so, what? And why? And when? I think what I've heard from the city council, and it'd be interesting to have this conversation with all of you as well, not right now, but when do we want that finished? That's probably going to come to city ownership in the next 9-12 months once the streetscape project closes out next fall. How aggressive do we want to be on getting that one done? 2019, 2020? So anyways, there's a lot to talk about, but I think it's really exciting. And we'll work on scheduling with all of you times for that March meeting, and we'll figure out a good time. But I think that sounds like a good plan to all of you. I think that's what we
sure.
should do.
Did I hear you say March 16th is the...
It's a Friday.
Yeah. No, we have a chamber open house plan
mm-hmm.
for that afternoon.
It might be a movable day. I'll talk with Doug. I can't remember what he's the one who said, hey, what about March 16th? And I think we owe him an email back, so we're still kind of sorting that out.
Okay.
I'll check
and
see if there's a better day.
If we could avoid it, the Chamber Open House is not a big deal, except that it's our 5-year anniversary for being in that property. And we always have it just before St. Patrick's Day, so.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that before we move on?
No.
Okay, so then item number 8, discussion on fiscal year 2016-2017 audit report.
So this will be probably fairly quick, but you have the audit that was conducted based on last fiscal year, and as you would expect, no major surprises. Again, we're not spending any money other than on the audit itself and kind of the fiscal housekeeping. So in terms of talking details in here, they did reassess the actual amounts of cash that we had and property taxes receivable and that type of thing. But there's no real main point in here for me to say, well, hey, look at this page because it says, we did this or we did that, because we didn't do much. And then, as you'd expect for this fiscal year, when we do this audit report a year from now, there won't be much other than the contribution to Sustainable City Year. And then as we ramp up, that will change significantly. Because a lot of urban renewal agencies, sometimes, even in smaller communities with smaller urban renewal agencies, as the money starts to come in, sometimes they do, and I'm not advocating for this anytime soon, but sometimes they'll hire a part-time or a full-time executive director to help administer. When you're talking millions of dollars, you've got a lot going on. Or they hire consultants, or they have more materials and services or capital projects. And so just over the coming years, the budget's gonna get a little more complex. Everything's gonna get a little, but until then, we're still not there yet.
So hopefully that will be some of the processes they outline in there.
Yeah,
no reports to us.
Nice.
We have a sense of when we might
do have
that.
To have a motion to accept the audit? I don't think so. I don't think you technically need to. Yeah. Okay.
It's a good question. I don't think so. I don't think ORS or anything requires that.
Financial document.
More just in also just kind of the obviously transparency. All of you, the board is the agency and jurisdictional authority, right?
Okay.
You all pass the budgets, you all do all that, kind of stuff. So just in terms of keeping you aware of what the audit said, and again, no surprises on that.
Great. So at this time, we'll move on to other matters, which is the appointment of chair and co-chair, and currently Dan Barco is the chair, and he was absent today, which is why I'm here, and I'm the co-chair. So, do you guys have any discussion on that first? I'd rather have a discussion first rather than just nomination so that catch people off guard.
Well, I know Dan's situation has changed and he really intends to do a lot more traveling and be out of town a lot. So I think he would be the first to agree that he's probably not the best person for chair at this point in time. So. So I'd like to, entertain it. I would like to say, have Connie be switched to chair and find someone for a co-chair, another person for a co-chair.
Thank you. And Craig, do you have any comments?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Vicki?
Well, I agree. Dan's going to be traveling, so I support nominating you.
Thank you. I'll be around for another year, so.
Yeah. We're hoping.
Andrea, thoughts?
Makes sense to me.
Okay. So do we have someone interested in co-chair position at all?
And are you interested in
that? Yeah, I could do that. I plan on committing to all the meetings and everything, so I have no problem with that.
Okay, so let's go back to chair and we'll do official nominations for chair.
So I move that we appoint Connie as our chair. Can we do it together? Because it's a co-chair.
I think.
Yeah.
Do
separate
motions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we need a second.
A second.
Okay.
And we'll call for a vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
So I move that we nominate Anne for our co-chair.
Second the motion.
Move and second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Congratulations. Here we come, 2018.
There we go. All right, and Gary said he was going to speak up on public comments item number 10.
Thank you. It's a much more comfortable chair. That's okay. Are these recorded? So
it's right in front of you. If you're recording through this.
Okay. Okay. I'm Gary Gordon. This is for the Lapine Park and Rec District, and I wanted to briefly give you two things: some information and a request. First off, the information is that we've just completed, as a district, our comprehensive plan update. It was only like 15 years in the coming, but it's done. And part of that is that we're now starting the process of creating a capital improvement plan. We also have joint jurisdiction within the city with our Heritage Park. It's also shares the Urban Renewal District as well as the City of Lapine, and we all have joint jurisdictions. Outside the city, of course, we have the 150 acres that is in the county at the moment, but it's also entirely situated within the Urban Renewal District. In hearing the questions and answers and presentations, obviously one of the areas for discussion was the renovation of public areas, and most certainly Heritage Park, our downtown park, is ripe for that discussion. I went online and found the original urban renewal documents, and basically talked about the general goals, and this was set back in June of 2014. And I'm just going to give you the numbers if you want to write them down, because these were ones that are concerning the park district. That would be goal 2F, goal 3A, C, E, and G, and finally 6A. What I'd like to do, if you can, we're kind of like requesting for your very next meeting, to give me some time to make a presentation of where the park district is headed with regard to its look. It's also, since we are in fact partners with the district and the renewal district and the city, we need to talk about where we're headed as well and what we'd like to give, at least give you our input for your consideration.
Great. Thank you.
So am I invited?
I think that we have to look at the schedule, see what Corey's got on the schedule, and he's aware of your request at this
okay.
time. But we will
Great, thank
definitely
you.
Get back to you. Thanks, Gary. All right. And staff comments at this time.
I don't have anything else to add. This was really productive, and I think that the, having been here, not consistently since the summer of 2014, but I was here as an intern in the summer of 2014 when the Urban Renewal District got passed, and then over the last couple of years, going on 3 years, was the conversations of we're waiting, and so I feel like with again the combination of things that we have coming up at this point, in conjunction with the amount of money that is in there, it's time for all of you to start really thinking hard and making some of those decisions in terms of putting that money into action, like one of the students said. That was a good way to put it. So I don't have anything else to add. Like I sketched out, I think us meeting for the next three, four months, that'll be a fun process. I think we can get a lot done. And I think we'll look back on this meeting, and then as we head into the following year, and if everything goes well, I think it should be pretty darn exciting. So,
could we set a date for the March meeting?
Well, let me ask you this: for us, and I'm sort of.
He set the 16th, but we're going to change that.
Oh, yeah. That was for the sustainable city.
That was just
the
presentation. What's the best way? Do you want? Because Holly is meeting scheduler extraordinaire. In terms of what's the easiest way to do this? Is it to try to do it now? Is it to send an email? Is it to call you individually? Is it to put together a doodle poll with five options and send that out? We can do that.
Polls. I'm a big fan of doodle polls.
And then once we figure out what the best way is, we'll just do that. It'll be rinse and repeat for all the following meetings. Thoughts?
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
In Holly's setting up this meeting, she wondered if this was a good time for people versus later versus evening hours. And I wonder if we could agree that 2:00 is a good time and then plan the day around that.
Not necessarily on a Friday or a Tuesday. I work in Bend.
I mean, whatever day
so
it would be.
Another day is fine, but I love the
I love the
2
too.
O'clock.
Yeah.
Me too. But I think we have to, I think that's a, instead of trying to work everybody's
Yeah, why don't we just do the
just
doodle poll?
Let's do that.
Yeah. And
we'll throw a bunch of options.
And we have 2
on
members
there
that aren't even here, so
yeah.
I'm setting a meeting time right now.
This is the first time we've done like a Friday, you
yeah.
know, and
yeah.
it was purposeful.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. Right.
In the past, one thing that I think just in terms of lining up kind of meeting schedules, because not quite half, but 3 out of the 7 members are council members. I think a lot of times we generally lined them up kind of in conjunction with the council meeting
yeah,
or
on Wednesdays,
before.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
which means that you know maybe the urban renewal meeting needs to be at like 4 o'clock if a council meeting's at 6. Because one thing, if we're digging in deeper to this material, these meetings are gonna, you know, we just spent an hour and a half. It could easily be
yeah.
a 2-hour meeting.
We've been here
so.
For like 15 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah, before. Sometimes our meetings are pretty quick.
This
yeah.
is probably longer than our last 3 meetings put together.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
That's true. So we'll do the doodle poll. We'll send out a wide variety of days and times. And then if we kind of see some themes from that, we'll pick the conversation back up at the next meeting and try to see if we can get a little rhythm
right.
in terms of day and time. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. Any
yeah.
board member comments?
Nope.
Yeah. All right.
Great.
Then
do I have a motion
to
adjourn?
I so move.
I'll second.
You adjourn.
All right.
All right.
So fishing.
Honey, don't go.
Don't go.
Good to have
you
here.
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Your sweater.
Thank you.
Okay. I heard you say that
Tuesdays
and Fridays
are
in band.
Tuesdays and Fridays are the only days I'm out here.
Thank you, Vicki.
I am. I leave tomorrow. Yeah. And then we're home. And then.